Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Making money from real estate has to do with value. Finding properties that are undervalued, doing something to a property to create value, managing a property so that the value increases. Today, we're going to talk all about finding value with a guy who knows something about it, the Rich Dad Advisor for Real Estate, Ken McElroy, today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. All aboard. Registration is now open for the Real Estate Guys 18th Annual Investor Summit at Sea. Imagine spending an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Returning this year are sales legend Tom Hopkins, authors of Prosper, Chris Martinson, and Adam Taggart, and the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin. Also back is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, Brian London, real estate developer Beth Clifford, CPA Tom Wheelwright, and Jim Rohn's 18-year business partner, Kyle Wilson. And joining us live and in person for his 8th Investor Summit, Peter Schiff. Plus, returning for a 7th time, the best-selling personal finance author in history, Robert Kiyosaki. It all begins June 11th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to book your cabin now. This transformational week is like no conference you've ever attended. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit at Sea and make your plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys, Peter Schiff, Robert Kiyosaki, and an all-star faculty on the 18th Annual Investors Summit at Sea. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, it's our co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
Always a great day to talk real estate wherever you've caught us, however that is, whether it's the radio or the podcast, or maybe you're just overhearing headphones in the seat next to you. We're glad you're here. We've got an icon in real estate with us on the program today. Our good friend Ken McElroy is here. And, you know, Kenny's such an interesting guy. He started out in property management. That was kind of his door into real estate. And ultimately, he saw he was on the wrong end of that and decided it'd be better to own apartments and headed on that track. And, of course, today he owns more than 7,000 units, down from about 10,000. We'll learn why before we're done. But he and his partner Ross are really doing the thing.
Yeah, you know, Kenny is such a great guy for a lot of reasons. You know, he's got this practical, pragmatic wisdom, a way of just taking something that is relatively complex, and he learned through the trial and error of real life, you know, being out there in the battles doing the thing. And he just says it in such a nonchalant way, you almost don't even capture it unless you're really paying attention. So that's one thing I love about Kenny. He loves to teach. That's another great thing. And he's about a lot more than just real estate. You know, if you really get a chance to know Ken, he loves to help people. He loves to see people grow and be successful. I think that's reflected in the business he's built and his team. I think that's reflected in his work as a Rich Dad Advisor and going out with Robert and Kim and the other advisors and just helping elevate the financial well-being of humanity through financial education. He's a prolific author. And, you know, in addition to that, he's out there speaking. He's doing all kinds of things to make the world better. So anytime we get a chance to spend time with Ken McElroy, it's going to be a good day.
Many of our listeners have probably read his classic books, The ABCs of Real Estate Investing, The ABCs of Property Management, The Advanced Guide to Real Estate. One of my favorite books of Kenny's is called The Sleeping Giant. It's got a great cover. It's got his two boys on the cover of the book wearing his suits. So they look like they're, you know, too big to be wearing these suits. And that's kind of the metaphor. But Ken's got a brand new book out. We'll talk about that today. But I had a chance to sit down and just talk about all kinds of things, some real estate and some not. When we come back, you'll meet our good friend Ken McElroy today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from August 14th to 17th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 15 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful, and wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2019 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year is already on track to beat it. How does that translate to real estate investment? That's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate investing, including both long and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me August 14th to 17th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so that you can follow up with them after the trip if the market's interesting to you. But that ball's in your court. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on Events, where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trip. Once you're registered, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize, August 14th through 17th. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under Events, and I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, I'm G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, a second look at the Federal Reserve. And you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great station, all the time at realestateguysradio.com. We love to talk real estate, and oh my gosh, we have hit the mother lode this week because talk about real estate guys. Ken McElroy is with us. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. It's been too long.
It has. It's great, great to see you again.
Yes, so good. Last time we spent meaningful time together, we were up on some mountaintop with our boys.
In the middle of Africa.
It's crazy. You invited Ethan
20,000
feet. You and Kate. And yeah, wasn't it crazy? We did Kilimanjaro, and still, what a tremendous entire experience that was. So thanks again for that invitation.
Of course. Yeah, it was for our kids, but really for us too.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Boy, my son won't stop talking about it. And of course, he's a big man on campus having done that at age 13. So,
Kate, my son got asked that in an interview.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Tell me something big that you've done. He's like, well, I just climbed Kilimanjaro. The guy's like, what? You're hired.
That's pretty big.
It was pretty cool.
Good stuff. Well, compared to that, real estate's easy. Obviously, people know your story, and you've been on the show a bunch of times. We're at an interesting time right now. We've been really long into this cycle, and everyone wants to know, what's happening? What do you do about it? Give us your take on how you guys are playing right now, where the markets are, where they are.
Yeah, well, so I think one of the mistakes people make is they try to time everything.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with thinking about that. And there's nothing wrong with even considering it or trying to figure that out. But for us, we take a look at, you know, if you bought correctly and you made a lot of money, you shouldn't be concerned if there's a year or two left in the run. You know what I mean? So we exited from quite a bit, 14 projects, and cashed out on, so we still have about 7,000 units left.
Yep.
But we had around 10,000, as you know. And so we exited, and we sold all of those for about a 4.2 cap. And they were properties that, quite honestly, we didn't want. You know, as you start accumulating stuff over time, you have the ones that are doing really well,
yep,
and the ones that are, you know, doing average, and then the ones that are spending a lot of time on for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And there were multiple reasons. And so we just decided to package those up and see what we could get for them. And we were very, very happy with when we exited them. The market has still gone up from that time, right? So even those that we sold, they're worth more today. But, you know, you can always do that. You can always look back and beat yourself up over something like that. But what we have not been able to find are any true value adds.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, I love your book, Forced Equity, because I think that says it all. Honestly, you can make money by forcing equity.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you can even buy at whatever the property's worth today. And if there's a forced equity play, then you know you've made money. We're just not seeing that
today.
Yeah, it's harder, that's for sure. You know, one of the classic ways to force equity, of course, is ground-up construction. And why that hasn't been your mainstay, you've done some of that. And obviously, Ross, your partner, that's kind of his background. Are you seeing those opportunities today?
Well, we are. So, you know, it's really simple. It's just simple math. You know, the existing properties, brand new, are selling, you know, in Phoenix at least, for, you know, in the mid $200,000 a unit,
yep.
You know, low to mid $200,000 a unit. And we can build those for 180, 190. So not that we're sellers,
right.
But, you know, we're building and we instantly have value at today's prices, right?
Yeah.
And so we're building at about a 6 to 6.25 cap. And we think that's good. You know, things are selling at 4 and we're building at a 6. So we're in pretty good shape right now, although land is going up and labor is a massive concern, you know. And of course, you know, with all this stuff happening with this coronavirus, truly, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the product, you know, the supplies.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's part of it. As the market, every element of the market changes, you have to move around a little bit. And I've appreciated watching you guys all these years. That's what you do. You take what the market gives you. I think the last show we did was about operations, because that's another angle. When you can build something and you have the chops to operate it, you're not building it to sell. You guys are in the property management business in a big way. And so you understand that side of the business, not just acquisition and development.
Yeah. So, right. So we start at the top, started at rent, then moved to vacancy, then moved to concession, then moved to other income, and then moved through every expense category. And we drilled down on all of those, you know, I mean, literally all the way down into negotiating flooring contracts nationally and taking a look at every dishwasher and every water heater and every single thing that we buy in every single market and comparing it and seeing, you know, how our pricing was and kind of fine tuning all of that. In addition to that, negotiating insurance and negotiating property taxes and negotiating, you know, water, sewer, trash, you know, gas, all those things. And you can do that, you know, and we have a whole program around utility management now. And so all of those things are important. They're small, you know, they're small wins, but you get 100 of them and it starts to add up.
Well, that's the way to think about it too. When you have a single family house or two, there's only so much efficiency you can get. When you get to 100 and then 1,000 and then 10,000 doors, boy, that has you noticing the dimes and the nickels.
Well, I'll just tell you, like even on our construction projects, you know, this is really something that just happened. You know, let's say we're building 300 units. A dining light in a kitchen can be $300 or it can be $40.
Right.
Literally. So, yeah. You know, 260 times 300. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can make those little mistakes throughout a project very easily on with tile and with, you know, a dishwasher. You know, we were looking at dishwashers yesterday. Honestly, $600 to $300,
yeah.
You know, on a dishwasher. You know, and so you start to look at those things and they're not cheap. These are not cheap dishwashers. They're just competitive pricing, you know,
yeah.
And we're still doing World, GE and, you know, all the name brands and Maytag. But the point is you have to look around, and if you buy in bulk and there's the cost efficiencies and things like that. So we're doing that now on a massive scale. Plus we're renovating our properties. So we're doing value adds on our own.
Yeah.
So that's
going to ask about that, yeah. Because you divested yourself of some units, made sense to do, and it's actually fine if the guy who bought has success, right? That's part of the thing. It's like, yeah, we could have gotten a little more, but it's okay if the guy who was, you know, best and final and got the bid and arguably maybe paid too much at the time. Time heals all wounds, that's okay. But now when you've got this existing inventory in a market like this, focusing on becoming your own acquirer, I guess. You're not going to sell it means you're going to be the buyer. So you focus on just getting it running the best it can.
Well, it's funny because here's what I said to Ross. I go, okay, if we sell this, is somebody going to value at it? If the answer is yes, then we made a mistake.
Let's just do it.
Right. You know what I mean? So that's it. It's really that simple. So, and we have tons of properties that, you know, we bought 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Actually, believe it or not, we even actually have lease ups stuff, you know, because we're doing new construction now, that we opened just 2-3 years ago that are $200 under market now. Yeah. And they were brand new 2-3 years ago. And so we're doing value adds on those. it's like, might as well take a look at your existing projects and see how can you bring those up to market. And so we actually hired 2 full-time people just for that.
Okay.
And because managing those small subcontractors and those small, the handyman in a lot of cases can be time consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we have, I don't know exactly. I want to say 3,000 or 4,000 units of those going.
Yeah. Awesome. Hey, let's shift gears for a minute. I want to talk about your partnership with Ross. You guys have been together as nearly 20 years now. And first of all, that's pretty rare. But knowing you both, you have complementary skill sets, complementary personalities. What do you think has made such a great partnership?
We stay out of each other's way, but keep each other accountable. I think that's it. So in other words, we have very clear things that we each do.
Yeah.
Very clear. So Ross handles tax and legal, and right now he's handling debt.
Okay.
I handle operations and equity. You know, operations is a lot of work, as you know. And then I do the equity. And then together we both do acquisitions. And so that's been really good for us. So it's fun because we'll sit down and we'll talk, you know, about whatever he's working on, whatever I'm working on. So we update each other.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of moving parts, as you know. And so like every quarter we go down and meet with our accountants because we do, we have about 200 LLCs.
Yep.
And so every quarter we have a full meeting with our accounting team, and Ross runs it with the accounting team that comes in. And I just sit there and I just get updated and I ask questions as necessary. So it's really nice. So we really, really we stay in our own lane. He doesn't get involved in operations. I don't muddle in legal or tax unless, you know, there's some overriding issue around tax or net operating losses or cost segregations or something like that I might get involved in. But other than that, we just stay true to our lane, and it's worked out really well.
Yeah.
And he's just an incredible partner.
Good stuff. Hey, you know, folks who maybe haven't invested in multifamily, especially at a big level, you know, there's this whole concept you got to get your mind around, which is having third-party management. Because when you own, you've got to have someone who the bank is going to believe has the chops. And in most big markets, there's lots of choices. One of the questions people have asked me about you that I've realized I don't know. Here's the perfect time to ask. What do you guys do in that case? Because you have your own management company and it's pretty legitimate. Do you ever have an issue with a lender insisting someone else does the management?
No, we actually have never had that only because of, you know, we got 250 people in our management company and we have a long history. We have hundreds of years of experience. However, I will tell you that we've actually done it on our own.
Okay.
So when we went into Oklahoma, we hired 2 different management companies to manage big national companies names you would recognize to manage our assets.
Yep.
And we did that in Las Vegas. So we've done that because, you know, we're not in it for the fee. And I think that's an important point.
Yeah.
I don't care actually about a management fee. I only care that the property is going to perform to the business plan.
Yeah.
And so if my district manager has to fly to Las Vegas once every 2 weeks, that's not going to cut it.
Right.
It just isn't.
No.
You know, and you know, for what, $4,000 a month in management fees or something, it's just not going to cut it. You know, I'm throwing away hundreds of thousands, you know, for a management fee. So for me, we want boots on the ground. We want people that can visit the property every day if they need to. If something happens or there's something that, you know, the corporate office, like if I want something, I want an answer now. I don't want an answer in a week when somebody shows up and flies down there and talks to the manager.
It's not my week to be on the ground
this
week.
Right. You know what I mean? And so everybody's busy. So we want a local presence and we want somebody who can respond quickly because that's the way this business is. You know, as we look at our weekly reports and our daily reports and we're managing our KPIs, you know, things happen and it's a daily management, honestly, in this office. You know, we're managing these properties every single day somehow. And, you know, we have on a number of occasions not taken on management ourselves and hired third party.
Yeah. So you obviously have the investor to be concerned about, and you have been the guy who's in charge of equity and you maintain those relationships. But the thing that also strikes me about your business is you are always tenant centric. Like that's really what the feel when you walk in is about how you guys take care of tenants. So taking care of tenants, does that just automatically translate into taking care of your investors?
Yeah, we actually think that that's where it all starts. So the tenants and our employees are actually probably as important or more than our investors.
Yeah.
That's how we see things. So because if the tenants are being treated well and we're taking care of the maintenance and we're, you know, we have a nice, clean, safe place and, you know, and we're renting to good people and we're maintaining the place, then we think we've done a pretty good job. You know, and we will reward our employees for that too. So that's how granular you have to be, I believe, because then everything flows up. You know, and then the investors are the benefits of, you know, they get the benefits of that. And I've been on the other side of it, as you know. So in my career, right out of college, I was in fee management.
Yep.
And so, you know, we used to laugh. There were three things. You know, the first thing was, you know, you take on a property and you don't improve it, then you get fired. If you take it over and it goes down, you get fired. If you take it over and increase the value, you get fired because they sell it.
They sell it to somebody else and you get fired.
So that is, you know, so what would happen is we would take over these buildings from these people and we would find that there's a lot of times they were flying in and trying to manage it, you know, and then what was happening is they would just throw the management company under the bus all the time and fire a different management company, bring a new management company. And it was never... We capitalized it wrong. We bought it wrong. You know, we bought off the broker package and we didn't do our due diligence. It was always, you know, the management company sucks, right? And so there's a lot of the finger pointing at the property level. And at the end of the day, if you can focus on the staff and focus on the tenants, then I believe your occupancy, everything follows, you know, the money.
It's wisdom there. Ken McElroy is our guest today. Kenny's written a brand new book. We're going to talk about that and give away a copy for Real Estate Trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com. If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Real Estate Guys listeners, are you tired of losing real estate deals due to financing issues? Have you had enough of waiting on banks, lenders, and investor groups to fund new projects? What if there were a way to eliminate all the hassle and invest in real estate on your own terms? I'm here to tell you there is. Patrick Donahoe here from Paradigm Life. I'm an Investopedia top 100 most influential financial advisor, and I recently wrote a best-selling book about the financial strategy that changed my entire investment model and the one that could change yours. To get a copy of my book for free and learn how you can maximize your real estate portfolio by acting as your own bank, send an email to mybank@realestateguysradio.com. Don't make another real estate deal without reading my book first. Email mybank@realestateguysradio.com now to get your copy for free.
Hi, this is Mark Victor Hansen. You're listening to my great friend Robert Helms, the Real Estate Guy. And Robert is a master maestro helping you orchestrate a bigger, better, cash-flowing profit. And you deserve it if you just desire it. And you wouldn't be listening if you didn't desire it and want to go higher with it.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio show. Thanks so much for tuning into the show this week and every week. Tell a friend about the Real Estate Guys. We're talking with Rich Dad Advisor, best-selling author, and all-around great guy, Ken McElroy, today. Before we get back to that discussion with Kenny, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia. That's your chance to win a prize by knowing the answer to today's trivia question. If you do that, we have a great prize for you. We're going to give you a copy of Kenny's brand new book. It's called Return to Orchard Canyon, and it's an amazing book. I've just finished reading the entire thing. You're going to want to get your hands on this. Not only will you get the book, but Kenny will sign it personally to you if you know today's real estate trivia question. When you hear the question and think you know the answer, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address so that if you're the winner, Kenny can send you out this autographed book, Return to Orchard Canyon. Last week on The Real Estate Guys, it was Ask the Guys, and we asked you this. What city is home to the oldest family-run restaurant in the United States? The answer is the city of New Orleans, Louisiana. That's where Antoine's originally opened in 1840. Now, the restaurant today is about a block from its original location, but it is huge. So many different rooms, so many nooks and crannies. In fact, it's been continuously operated by Antoine's family, now with his great-grandson at the helm. One of our hints was that the Real Estate Guys have eaten there thanks to our friend Victor Minosh. We got a great tour of the place. Turns out they invented several things there, including oysters Rockefeller and egg sardou. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Kenny's new book, Return to Orchard Canyon, is set in Sedona, Arizona. Sedona's an interesting name. For whom was the town named? Yeah, the town of Sedona was named after somebody, or for somebody if you prefer. Who was that person? If you know, or know someone who knows, well, quickly get the answer to us by sending an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address. The first person that gets it right gets an autographed copy of Kenny's new book, Return to Orchard Canyon, a business novel. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're with the author of that book. Ken McElroy is with us. And tell us about this amazing book. I just got the copy you sent me. Thank you for that. Read the whole thing. It sucked me in, man. It's a story. You call it a business novel.
Yeah, it's different. There's a lot of sales around that,
there sure is.
That title, I will tell you. So Return to Orchard Canyon is a... First of all, Orchard Canyon is a real resort that I own with Robert Kiyosaki and another friend of mine.
You know, you showed me, I've not been there, you showed me the pictures when you and Robert went out there one of the very first times. And as I'm reading the book, that's what I've got on my mind.
Yeah.
So
it's
a real place.
It's a spectacular place.
Yeah.
And so what I was trying to do is I was trying to insert business lessons that, you know, I know you pour yourself into personal development. I certainly do. Things that I've learned, things about money, into a story. Because I think a lot of times we can write these business lessons in a book, any book, and it becomes super technical,
yep.
Almost like a textbook in a school. And you don't really get the knowledge. And so I was trying to take some basic lessons and insert it into a story. And it's a story of three generations. So it's a grandfather, father, and the daughter, and the grandfather, you know, has a different view on the world than the son, and the son versus his daughter. And I just love the story. I think it's a great way to deliver really, really good messages that are true.
Yeah, for sure. Some great little nuggets in there when she finds the coins.
Yes.
And she gets to understand the difference between older coins made out of real money, silver, and so forth. And that's a great moment. The fact that her parents are divorced, but they get along. There's a lot of really good life lessons in there. There's a lot of good subtleties in
there. Well, I made his wife... that where they got divorced. He was the breadwinner.
Yeah.
I made her a very successful entrepreneur.
Yes.
Right. Which I loved because that happens, you know. I mean, a lot of people take that for granted, but, you know, women oftentimes go home, they raise a family, and they're super smart, super educated. You know, in this particular case, she started this business from home, and then it turned into something, and it became very big and very successful. And they had a great relationship still after that, you know? It was all about the kid, and it was interesting that she started helping him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's perspective, right? So I guess this is probably true for everybody, but the main character, he's got his relationship with his daughter and his ex-wife and his relationship with his dad. He doesn't appreciate... really his dad's knowledge or the place he grew up. And there's a whole thing around that. And then, of course, you know, when you look at your kids, you always want your kids to do better. And he's got his perspective up that she's anxious to get into college. That's big. I don't want to give away the story, but there's so many ways to weave it in. And I think this is the point is it was a captivating story. I wanted to read it all the way to the end. Every chapter stuff is happening. So it's a really interesting story. But then reflecting on it, there's so many life lessons and so many things you might have missed. I think that's a book you could probably read a few times and glean something new every time.
Well, so I actually hear this a lot. You know, it's gotten some really good accolades. We got a phenomenal write-up through with Publishers Weekly, and it's really, you know, it's only been out 2 months.
Yeah.
And it's been really, really selling very, very well. Audio's coming out here anytime. And the one thing I keep hearing is it's a blend of The Alchemist and Rich Dad Poor Dad. I've heard, you know, I wish it wouldn't have ended. This is there was a book reviewer out of New York, a fairly big one, who said it was the most impactful book he's ever read.
Wow.
And you know, he told me this on the air, like we were, people are reaching out and asking about it. And I've had people buy 20, 30 copies and give them out for Christmas. It's been great. You know, you never know. You know what I mean? And as you know, Robert, we bumble along and we learn things and we try to teach things. And one thing I did learn specifically from Robert Kiyosaki and Rich Dad Poor Dad and, you know, What Color Is My Parachute and Road Less Traveled and Who Moved My Cheese and all those really great books is that you can really learn through story. And that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to take the lesson of the silver versus, you know, which was basically an inflation lesson, a little bit of war, you know, a little bit about banking, you know, a little bit about entrepreneurship, a little bit about college. You know, is college worth it? You know, a big debate right now.
Yeah.
And all those things. And you can stick them into a story. And you know they're real. I mean, these are things that people are really talking about. But what I really liked was the grandfather, who was 83, he didn't go to college.
Right.
And he was an entrepreneur and he scrapped it out. He had multiple streams of income and he sent his kid to college, which is exactly what my dad did.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we couldn't afford to go to college, so we're sending you to college. So I went to college. You know what I mean? And so I'm seeing a lot of my friends that are in corporates, you know, now and they're turning 50 and, you know, they don't have a lot of retirement. They don't have a lot of savings. And sometimes they've been through lots of mergers and acquisitions and you know, maybe different industries and different businesses and, you know, and they're not that well off financially, you know, a lot of them. So, I was trying to hit that vein.
Yeah. Good stuff. It's called Return to Orchard Canyon. You can find it at all your favorite booksellers. Let's shift gears even a little bit more because one of the things we had a great opportunity to do up on the mountain, we were hiking together with you brought a whole bunch of amazing friends who brought their sons. And so it was this great time. One of the things we talked about up there was powerful. Your friend Todd brought this up. How do we, as people with influence and affluence, make sure that our kids don't turn out to be spoiled, rotten, entitled brats? I see Kyle and Cade, your boys have done amazingly well and certainly had, you know, roadblocks and stumbles. My kid's a little younger than your kids. My boys have always looked up to your boys because they've had businesses and they've had an entrepreneurial spirit and they're just that age a little bit higher. What are some of the things you've learned in that regard to be able to raise kids that can make it on their own and not be dependent, but at the same time, have an appreciation for more of life?
Well, I think a couple things. I think if people haven't played cash flow game with their kids, they're crazy. And I mean, I'm not trying to pimp the cash flow game. I'm just letting you know that when my kids went into, they were not particularly great in math, but when they got into finance and math and the school, they understood what income and expense and a asset and a liability was. They understood it. They understood what a stock purchase was and they understood capital gains and they understood things like that you can learn in this game and that's the purpose of the game. That actually is interesting to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't really speak to the entitlement thing, but I will tell you that I remember Kyle called me up and he's like, I was the only one who knew what an asset and a liability was in the class, you know? And this is not a normal call from my son, by the way. So, I think it's always top of mind for me. You know, we've been all over the world and obviously done well. And One of the things that was hard was, especially because I sent my kids to a private high school and the kids were driving, you know, Ferraris and Maseratis and Mercedes and BMWs and stuff like that. And my, I made my kid.
See, not your kids.
No. I made them save up their money and buy their first car, which was a Volkswagen. And I remember my son coming home and saying, you know, I know what you're trying to do, but it sucks. you know what I mean? And so it's hard to hold the line. Honestly, it's hard. It's hard. You want your kids to have everything. You know, you can afford it. I grew up very differently. We couldn't afford it.
Right.
But it's easier to teach them to make money than to give them money. My friend said it best to me. He said, you got to spend twice the time and half the money.
Wow.
So I'm like, yep, that's it. So what happens, I think, a lot of times is people pour themselves into their work and then they buy their kids something and they just keep moving on very unconsciously. And so for me, it's always been a time thing. And so, you know, just being with them, you know, makes them grounded. And the way you are, the way you talk, they glean things, you know what I mean? And my kids are not entitled, as you know. And then right. Taking on trips to Africa or wherever we might go, you know, third world countries, working in those orphanages and stuff like that. We did that in Peru. And yeah, we were there, not quite a month, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you got to do those kinds of things and let them see. You know, I remember coming back. My older son said, I said, so what was your takeaway, you know, from Africa? And he said, I don't think that I realized that how happy people could be when they have nothing.
Yeah. Wow. And
that was his takeaway.
Powerful. And I know when we went, your son, Cade, my son, Ethan, really resonated with that first couple of days at the orphanage. And I mean, I know we talked about, hey, we got to get acclimated to the elevation and we're going to go do this amazing couple of days and we're going to bring some stuff that they need that's easier for us to get than for them. But I don't think Ethan was ready to be impacted by it the way it was. Those kids are just bright-eyed and excited to hold your hand and have you play with them. And they're out, you know, playing soccer with the
kids.
It was so good. So powerful stuff. You know, I remember the very first time we played cash flow at the Investor Summit and Josh and Lisa Lannon were helping to proctor it. And the first person out of the rat race was 10-year-old Cade.
I know.
Remember that?
I do. That's because he knew how to play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know. He was so proud of that.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, I was the first one out. And by the way, I think there was like 100 people.
There was 100 people like playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the first guy out.
10 years old.
Good stuff. Kids don't lack capacity. They lack teachers.
And they still want to win.
And they still want to win.
They don't care how old you are.
No. Good stuff. Right on. Well, hey, it's been great catching up as usual. Parting advice. Folks who might be thinking, I want to invest in real estate. I've not pulled the trigger before. What are some Ken McElroy words of wisdom you could share?
Well, first of all, I still think we have a nice little run here, personally. If you really look at the demographics, it's unquestionable.
Yep.
You know, there's more demand than there is housing, period.
Right.
So if you're looking to invest, you know, be super careful if you're raising money and you're not doing all the homework. If you're focused on fees and just, you know, keeping your doors open, you're going to probably have a problem. But there's lots of markets that are still emerging. Because what happens is, as you know, we're seeing rent control and affordable housing and all this stuff, employers, everyone's looking for different markets right now, you know, all the big money. And I think you just got to watch, as Wayne Gretzky says, you know, watch where the puck's going. That's why he scored so many goals. He, you know, skated where the puck was going.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would say is just take a look at the demographics and make a good, you know, strategic decision and then be all in there, you know, whatever, wherever that is. And you'll be just fine.
Good stuff. There's the Rich Dad Advisor for Real Estate, Ken McElroy. Thanks for sharing your time and wisdom with us today.
Anytime, buddy.
You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Before we come back, I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
When it comes to successful rental property investing, it pays to be picky. Pick the right markets, pick profitable properties, and pick great property management. That's easier said than done, but we've got great news. Jerry Kerr and his rockstar team at Mid-South Homebuyers are going strong in Memphis, Tennessee, and Little Rock, Arkansas, too. So for a top-notch turnkey single-family home rental property, whether you're a new investor or have a large portfolio already, pick Terry Kerr and Mid-South for a truly A-plus investing experience. To learn more, send an email to midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. That's midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Do you have a self-directed IRA invested in a syndication? Guess what? It's a ticking time bomb. Why? Because IRAs get hit with UBIT taxes, even Roth IRAs. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we fix this problem for you forever. It gets even better because using the EQRP, you can literally get rid of taxes from all of your gains forever and protect your nest egg. The EQRP is the best vehicle to get it done. IRAs can't do it, not even Roth IRAs. You see, UBIT happens whenever any type of IRA invests in anything with debt. Don't worry, even if your IRA is already invested in a deal, we can kill that tax. Our team at Total Control Financial is here to give you control of your retirement money and free you from that deadly IRA tax forever. Want to learn more about the EQRP? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com. I'll email you my special report and send you a copy of the QRP book. Paying a 37% UBIT tax is stupid. First step to getting rid of that tax is to send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com today.
Hi, this is Kevin Harrington, an original shark from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio show. Hey, if you ever want to do bigger deals using other people's money, then come on out to The Secrets of Successful Syndication. Happens later this month in Dallas, Texas. You can get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. Look for The Secrets of Successful Syndication. Speaking of successful syndicators, how about that Ken McElroy?
Yeah, Ken, again, just practical wisdom. You know, the whole interview kind of took a little bit of a different twist, and I hope people really listen through it. Sometimes you get folks that, you know, are looking for the how-to, the checklists, the formulas, and really, life is about how you think, what you believe. It drives your behavior, and your behavior drives the results you produce. Kenny has a way of approaching life, approaching business, and that's reflected when you get a chance to hang around somebody that is truly legitimately successful, like a Ken McElroy, and you get a chance to just hear them talk about life and the way they look at relationships and doing business and raising children or whatever it is they're talking about, you can pick up a lot of things that can help you become better at whatever you're doing, in this case, real estate investing, and it's not necessarily technical knowledge. So I hope people tuned in, listened to that. Well, that's probably worth going through and listening to two or three more times. I think it really fits into the way he wrote the book and why he wrote the book that way. You learn more through stories. It's the difference between being in a classroom, being taught technical knowledge from a teacher, which is actually pretty boring, and being an apprentice, where you're actually working side by side with a real mentor, a real craftsman doing something at a high level. And you pick up not just the technical knowledge, but the attitudes, habits, and beliefs that they have just through osmosis, just by being in the environment with them.
You know, Ken is a great investor and a great syndicator, great money raiser, but also, he's got this profound partnership with Ross McAllister, and we have both of those guys on the Investor Summit a few years back, just as they had passed 15 years together, and rather than have them talk on real estate, and this makes your point, we asked them to talk about the power of partnership, and it was one of the most amazing talks I've ever heard Kenny do, and Ross, side by side, talking about what makes a good partnership, and you know, back to what you said at the beginning of the show, he has this unique ability to just give you the nugget, like the two sentences or even half a sentence, you're like, wow. So when I asked him specifically about, you know, what makes their partnership work, he's like, we stay in our lane and we give the other person space. Like, it was just profound.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you say that all the time, that when two people think exactly the same way, one isn't necessary, not as a human being, but just in terms of their contribution to the venture. The whole point is to have different perspectives, different points of view, complementary skill sets, complementary access to resources, people who can divide and conquer, but yet still stay together. I was married for 41 years. My wife and I had that. You and I have been together for going on two decades now. And I think to a large degree, we have that. I think that one of the things when you look at a guy like Kenny, and really the essence of all successful people that I've ever met, and I've been doing this for quite a while, is nobody does it alone. Nobody who is really successful goes it alone. Kenny syndicated, meaning he raised other people's money, and he hired a team, which means he relies upon other people's talent, and he has a partner, which means that he's sharing the responsibility with someone else, kind of as a co-owner, somebody else that the buck stops on Ross's desk, just like it stops on Kenny's desk, and then understanding how to organize those relationships in such a way that it's a win-win, where people are able to stay in their, what I call their sweet spot. They're doing the thing that they love to do, that they're good at doing, that needs to be done, while somebody else is doing things that, I'm guessing Kenny does stuff that Ross hates, and I'm pretty sure that Ross is doing stuff that Kenny hates, because I know Kenny better than I know Ross. And when I heard what Ross was handling, I said, well, that makes a lot of sense, because I just don't see Kenny as being a legal and a tax guy.
Yeah, you know, he does have a cursory knowledge of all that, because you have to, but smart enough to figure out, hey, this is what my partner's good at, this is what I'm good at. And I think the other thing, people think of Ken as this big apartment guy, and certainly he is, and he syndicates a lot. But the majority of their employees are in the property management business. Over 300 people work for Kenny and Ross, some at their main office and some at the various properties. But they have done an incredible job of scaling up and of training through leadership. And you watch the way those guys perform and what they pay attention to, and it's just awesome.
That really goes back and speaks to one of the things that Kenny commented about, which was attention to detail. And the business, any business, is really a system of processes and a bunch of procedures and things that you got to pay attention to. And there's not like any one big magical thing. Hey, if I press this button, profits are going to spit out. But it's really fine-tuning the machinery so that you're saving a penny here, saving a nickel there. You do a process a little bit more efficiently so that you get maybe 10 or 20% more, even 5% more productivity out of your labor, out of your facilities, out of your machinery. It's just a matter of being organized. And if you think about delivering for your investors with an income-producing property, if you're going to be in the business of operating and managing and investing in cash flow properties, property management is arguably the single most important thing. You know, and he said, hey, if it doesn't make sense for me to do it, if it's, you know, if I don't have critical mass, if I got to put somebody on a plane and send them back and forth or whatever, that doesn't make sense. I can't do a great job. It isn't that I want to make money in property management. It's that I want the property to perform for my investors. And if our team is the best team for the job, we're going to use our team. We don't care about the money. We care about delivering for the investors. The money takes care of itself. However, if we're not the best team for the job and we're in a market where we need to go use another team, I've seen him do that. I've seen him actually go into marketplaces and acquire a property management team so that he would have critical mass, because he had intentions of building a big footprint in that market and he needed a property management company to build around. You know, if you take that one premise and bring it back down to the mom and pop investor level, it's the thing we say all the time. When you decide to go into a new market, a market that you're not invested in, the first thing you need to do is build a boots on the ground team. And the most important person on that team in an income producing investment portfolio is your property manager. And then you have your property manager actually help you populate the portfolio with the properties they feel that they can manage well to deliver you the financial results you're looking for. And, you know, again, these are the types of things. You hang around with a guy like Ken, you glean from the conversation. He didn't say it in so many words, but it was all there.
Ken's new book is called Return to Orchard Canyon. It's an amazing book. He calls it a business novel, so make sure you pick that up. Also, before the year is out, he's got another book coming out, and when that happens, we'll be sure and let you know. But if you really want to pick his brain, hang out, just be around greatness, then we're happy to announce that Ken McElroy will be joining us once again for the 18th Annual Investor Summit at Sea. Kenny's going to come for the whole time, and that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, Kenny's been MIA at the summit for quite a while. He's been busy with his sons, and so he hasn't been able to come. But, you know, his sons have gotten to an age now where he's free to come, and first thing he wanted to do was come back on the summit and not just come for a day or two or, you know, make a guest appearance, but he's going to sail with us the whole time.
You know what I think it is? I think there's more to it than that. I think that this is going to be the 8th year for Peter Schiff, the 8th year for Tommy Hopkins, the 7th year for Robert Kiyosaki. Kenny's already been 8 times, so this would be Kenny's 9th year, which will make him just a little bigger man around campus. I think that's really the reason.
You know, these guys are all competitive, so who can blame them for wanting to collect those peppers, which is how we designate how many Summit at Seas you've been on. But I really think, I mean, the idea of getting around people who are brilliant, the idea of looking at the big picture and figuring out how the big picture relates to your portfolio and your street-level decisions, there is no place on earth I think you can go that is better than the Investor Summit at Sea for that. We talk about what's going on in the macro with the financial system and the bond markets and interest rates, what gold is saying about currencies, energy, but we also talk about all kinds of different niches in real estate and how are we going to take what's going on at the macro and make portfolio level, Main Street level decisions, what niches are available. And it's not just the faculty. I mean, the faculty's outstanding. And sure, you can read these guys' books and listen to their podcasts and watch their YouTube channels and all of that, but you can't get them talking to each other. When we put them on a panel or you're hanging out with them and they get going and they have a conversation and you get to be a fly on the wall, I mean, that learning is amazing. And then you've got 200 plus investors from all over the world that bring all of their experience and all of their perspectives, and then they're processing the conversations and presentations and panels that they're hearing and then talking about how it relates to them. I mean, it is just phenomenal. You get more done in less than 10 days for less money than most people would have to spend in 10 years in order to build the same level of knowledge and relationships. And the thing is, when you take that information and those relationships that you build and then use them over the next 10 years, you have just compressed time frames like nobody's business. There's a reason all of these people come back to the Summit at Sea year in and year out. I mean, we've done this through, we did this through the Great Recession. We've been doing this since 2002. And so no matter whether it's good or bad times, there are always things to talk about, and there are always successful people to learn from, and there are always strategies to prosper, whether we're in a boom or a bust. And I'm just so thankful that we have this thing as a resource to build our tribe, to build our network, to build our knowledge, and to have access and build those relationships that give us the opportunity to have access to opportunities and answers when we're facing tough decisions.
One of the best investments you can make, and you'll get a ton of return on it if you work it right, is to come on the Investor Summit and see all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com. Just click the button that says Summit at Sea. Big thanks to Kenny McElroy for opening his office and his big mind to us today. And next week on the show, we've got another mega real estate guy. He has history as owning one of the largest real estate brokerages in America, and he's gone on to amazing things. John Assaraf will be with us next week. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.